Holy God, be in our thoughts and in our words. And give us grace to discern your word, that we may hear and receive it in our hearts, where it may bear fruit for eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Please receive it.
Well, I guess there's another reason why some people thought that we might be a bit low on numbers today in church, not just because of the Super Bowl, but because of the concert last night that took place in Crookwell Cove Hall here with Bonnie Bentall, Tom Taylor and Sherry Ulrich. How many of you were actually there? Well, very good. So you were there last night, you are here this morning. Well done, very good. I actually was not there last night. Number one, I couldn't even get a ticket. It was completely sold out. And number two, and the real reason why I wasn't there was because, as you may have heard, yesterday was somebody's 100th birthday. Or it would have been if they were still alive. Because there are some people who actually think he is still alive, living as a lama somewhere in China. But that's another story. Thomas Merton would have turned 100 yesterday. And I went to Thomas Merton's birthday party, which was over in East Vancouver in a wonderful little cafe on the corner of Kingsway and Kingsway and Broadway, that's it, I think. And we played some great music that I supplied. And we, at one point, listened to a number of us who have contributed to a book of tributes to Thomas Merton, sort of saying what Merton has meant to us. And so it raises that question for me is, you know, what is it about particular people that draws us to them, that makes us think, yes, that's right, that's a great insight. That person is speaking the truth. What is it about that? Think about the people who are influential to you, your favorite authors. What is it about them that draws you to them? Anyone want to offer any answers to that question?
No. No? Sometimes they name something that I've been feeling but haven't been able to find the words to describe it. So it's like an aha moment. Uh-huh. It's very settling.
They name something that you've been feeling but haven't had the words to describe it. So they're putting into words what is actually already within you.
Anne? Well, I think about Barbara Kingsolver and her, particularly her essays, and they speak to me because she is an environmentalist, she's concerned about the world, she's concerned about the earth, and she's saying that, and I'm sure that we're married, she's saying that to a much broader community than I can say it.
Right. But it's in tune with what you're already thinking. Elizabeth?
Sometimes a familiar situation is spoken about at a different angle that I haven't thought of.
Yeah, a familiar situation from a different angle. Yeah. Please.
Anne-Marie Lindbergh, Gift from the Sea. The different stages of a woman's life told through the seasons.
Right. And what is it about that that connects with you?
Well, it's something concrete that you can hold when you're thinking about the different stages that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. So again, there's a sense of identification with what the person is saying. It resonates with you. So that makes me think that when we hear these people and we recognize that they are speaking truth to us, that they're actually showing us something that we already know, but didn't know that we knew it, okay? And that's why I think the word insight is such a great word. It's an insight because it gives you a sight of what's already in you. That's how I understand it. So when Jesus comes to the synagogue and he begins to teach, and they say, He taught with authority and not as the scribes. So there was something about Jesus that they recognized as being authoritative. They heard him speak and it was like, yes, that's right. He's telling the truth. Not like our scribes, who number one, we can't understand a word they say. And number two, they're always quoting Rabbi Hezekiah of, you know, Babylon or somewhere. They're always referring to someone else. It's always got to be referred and footnoted and documented. Whereas this guy, he just says it how it is. And I know that he's telling the truth because it's resonating in here, in the strings of my heart. So, truth is already within, and those who speak truth to us unlock the truth and let it out. That may not always be a comfortable thing. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? The man with the unclean spirit. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the man with the unclean spirit knew the truth. The truth was already in him. Which makes me think, if the truth is in me, and the truth is in you, waiting to be unlocked, then the truth is in everyone, even those who have the unclean spirits. Now, what do we make of the unclean spirits? What do we make of this person who was in the synagogue, you know, in the assembly, like being in church this morning? If someone got up and said, what do you want with us, Angus Stewart? Have you come to destroy us? What do we make of that? How would we interpret that today if someone did that? Throw him out? Not even. Okay. It's one response. It's one response. Yes? Disrupting a public act of worship, wasn't it?
Ask what he's afraid of.
Yes. What are you afraid of? What is it in this Angus Stewart character that makes you so on edge, that makes you afraid? In our day, we don't tend to interpret such behaviour in the words of, you know, he has an unclean spirit. Although we might do, and we might mean it literally, or we might mean it figuratively. We might say, oh, that person may have a real spirit of fear, for example. You know? But we don't necessarily mean that they literally have a personified demon living in them that is fear. We might mean that, but I wouldn't, personally. I don't think a lot of us would. It would be a figurative way of speaking. In those days, in the days of Jesus, they didn't really have a great conception of mental illness, and they tended to interpret everything as being in the realm of a spirit. And it's because human beings, if they have a lack of knowledge, if they do not understand something, then they tend to make up stories about it to fill in the gaps. In fact, we all do it. If you think about it, we all walk around the world feeling fairly comfortable and at home in the world, generally speaking. And yet, if we were to stop and think about it, we'd realize that most of what's going on around us we have no idea about. And certainly to be able to explain how anything is happening or how it all connects. And yet we have this sort of story that we tell ourselves. And so when you have someone exhibiting erratic behavior like that, there's a tendency to want to explain it because perhaps it makes us feel safe. If we can explain it, it means it's not out of control. And that's another aspect of fear. It's not only the unknown, like I was talking with the children about, but it's also what's out of our control. And when it comes to looking within, and then perhaps discerning there that there are things out of control, that too can make us fearful. Now the point of this gospel passage in Mark's gospel, notice this is the very first act of Jesus in his gospel, after he's called his first disciples, after he's been tested in the wilderness, after he's been baptized, and he begins his ministry. This is what Mark begins with. He begins with a statement that Jesus effectively is the one who comes with authority, the one who comes and speaks truth. He speaks the truth and backs it up by actions of power, actions of authority, actions of truth. So his words are supported by his actions. It's not just talk, but you can see it in reality. That's kind of the point of this passage. We heard in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, the words of Moses, or portrayed as the words of Moses before the people of Israel are going to enter the promised land. And he tells them that there's going to be a prophet like him, which is a very interesting statement if you think about it, because Moses is not generally regarded as one of the prophets. He's not in the book of prophets like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Hosea or Amos or Ezekiel or any of those others. He's not in the book of prophets. He's in the Torah. And the tradition is that Moses wrote the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Now, we don't know whether that's literally true or not. And scholars, of course, like to debate it. But the tradition is that these are the books of Moses. So when the Pharisees and the scribes say to Jesus, well, Moses has told us, dot, 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 they're talking about those five books, those first five books. And Moses says, you're going to expect a prophet like me. Well, what can this mean, a prophet like me? So what sort of prophet was Moses? Well, he was the one who God sent, and he went reluctantly, with a lot of argument and gainsaying, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was the prophet sent to lead the children of Israel out of bondage into freedom. So at least one part of the prophet like me that Moses is talking about is someone who's going to come and lead the children of God out of bondage, out of slavery, out of whatever holds them down and holds them back, into freedom. So when the man with the unclean spirit says to Jesus in the synagogue, have you come to destroy us? Actually, what Jesus has come for is not to destroy, but to set free. And he does that with the man by rebuking the unclean spirit and giving him a word that sets him free from what was binding him. And of course, everyone's amazed, and that's kind of the punchline of the whole story. What is this? A new teaching with authority, that word again. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So Jesus is portrayed as the one who has authority because he speaks truth that is recognized within us and within all who heard him, including those who were disturbed and those who were fearful, those who were bound in a prison of their own hearts. Jesus is the light, as John's Gospel would say, who comes to bring light in the darkness. The light that banishes evil. And I can't really finish talking about this Gospel passage without just saying something about evil, because it seems to be such a topic that people ask me about so often. Whenever we're discussing passages of scripture or other aspects of spiritual life, People always want to know, what about evil? What about evil? It's all very well saying the truth is in everyone, waiting to be unlocked and set free. But what about all those people who do evil? What about the presence of evil in the world? They say, it's all very well for Thomas Merton, or you, Angus Stewart, to say Christ is present within everyone, the human face of God, and all we have to do to bring that image of Christ to light is to love them, and me loving them will bring forth the image of Christ in them. That's all very well, but what about evil? What about all the cruelty? What about all the oppression? What about those shocking accounts of the ISIS people beheading individuals? What about that? Where is Christ there? Where is truth there? What is truth for them? I don't claim to have answers to all these questions. However, the one thing that I grasp is that evil occurs when we entertain and accept as truth the illusion that we are separate, that we are cut off from others, that we are different. Therefore, the ISIS terrorists see themselves against the world, against the infidels, against all who do not think like them, including their fellow Muslims. Most of the people that these Islamic terrorists kill are Muslims, and we shouldn't forget that, because we feel threatened by them because they're Muslim, and there's a tendency, because we do not understand, to therefore be threatened by Muslims. But that's an oversimplification. Evil occurs when we see ourselves as separate from others and from God. If God is within us, then we are not separate from God. If God's presence is within us, then God's consciousness is also in us. And I think it's that consciousness within us, if it can somehow be awakened, that is what reveals the truth and the insight within us and enables us to recognize truth that is being spoken to us. I think the collect this week, which is one of the new collects, is really good because it summarizes this whole thing. God of liberation, you come not to destroy us, but to set us free. And it continues, I'll just memorize the whole thing. Bring wholeness to all that is broken, including us. And speak truth to us in our confusion. Amen.